I pray, Father, that as we open your word together this evening, that you would be pleased to speak to our hearts, Father, that we would hear, Lord, your voice very clearly. Might our ears be in tune, Lord, as your Spirit speaks. Might he be our guide. Might he be our instructor. Might he quicken your word to our hearts, Father, that we might be grown, Lord, into that image of Jesus, Father. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to study together. And we give you all praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. We pick up our study tonight in the middle of this chapter. We looked at the first 16 verses on Sunday, and we met the writer, Agur, who informs us that every word of God is pure. And so we tap into that reality of the purity of God's word, and he continues to open to us that reality, that truth, as we continue through this chapter, as he gives us some helpful instruction. In verse 17, we read, "The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." That sounds like a difficult journey. And I think that was his intent, as he is telling us that the road is going to be very hard for the disrespectful child. And that's why, as parents, we have great responsibility to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to help them to understand that really that environment in our family becomes the basis for every interaction we have in life. And that's Agur's point here. He goes on there in verse 18, "There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid." So the way of an eagle in the air. I love that picture. That the other day, my wife and I were driving down the road, and an eagle actually flew right in front of our vehicle. I don't think we've ever had that happen before. Usually we see them along the rivers and whatever, but it was absolutely beautiful. And it was a reminder of this verse and some of the things he talks about. You know, as we bring that into our current lives, some things at which we simply marvel, someone on a first date. If you ever had opportunity to witness people having that experience, or someone in their first prayer as a new believer. I enjoy being with new believers as they're exploring their new relationship with God, and as they begin to talk to the Lord in a group. You know, it's just wonderful to watch that unfold. You know, God, this is Mark. You know, and they start this conversation, and it's so refreshing, because we find ourselves getting put into this mold over the years that we think we have to pray a certain way, and rather than simply allowing it to be a conversation, much like the new believer will do. Someone in their first time driving. That's also a great experience to observe. And so he says there's some things that in our lives that really challenge us as we watch them unfold. Verse 20, it says, "Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness." That idea of hardness to sin, which allows a seared conscience. One of the things that we should be praying about in our personal lives is, Lord, never let my conscience be seared. Never let me become hardened to the things of this world, the sin of this world. And one of the instruments of that is television. And all the things that are on television today. And we don't have television in that sense. We disconnected a long time ago. And I never cease to marvel when we go somewhere where a television is on to see the things that are readily accepted today that would have been absolutely rejected just not that long ago. It's shocking, but we can become hardened to those things as we see them or hear them in a repeated fashion. Pretty soon, our spirit is not as sensitive as it used to be. And we need to be cautious about that. What we put in our ears, what we put in our eyes, and ask the Lord to give us discernment in that, because we don't want to find ourselves being hardened to sin and allowing the Lord by his Holy Spirit to convict us when we go in the wrong direction. In verse 21, we read, for three things the earth is disquieted, and for four, which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigns, and a fool when he is filled with meat. The servant as king is really in a position for which he or she is not ready. That's his point. And he goes on there, for an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. So when the fool is filled and satisfied, they're often arrogant and unmerciful. An example of that would be Nabal. You remember in David's experience, as he sent his men to Nabal to get some supplies from him so that they would have something to eat. And Nabal was a man given to drunkenness, given to excess, and he cursed the people who came, even though they had been providing protection for his men, for his stock, livestock and all. And David had intended to go and to kill Nabal and everything, all of his household. And of course, we know the story that his wife intervened and saved his life. But we see how these things happen. The contentious woman, he talks about the contentious woman, how she will tear down her own family. And we need to be cautious about that. We need to be those who build up our families and not tear them down. The unfaithfulness of one who should be a help. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be helpful to those around us, beginning in our families and beyond. He goes on in verse 24, there are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Ants. Ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. As he's going through these things, it's just a reminder to us that we can learn from the little things in life. In verse 25, it talks about the ant being diligent to provide for his needs, really setting for us an example to follow. We need to be diligent. And in these days in particular, I encourage you to be diligent in setting aside supplies, because we don't know that our supply chain is just a short distance away from not existing, just because we take for granted all those trucks that run up and down the I-5 every day. And that could very easily change. And so we need to be setting aside supplies, so if something does happen, we're able to provide for our basic needs. I remember when I was a kid, and perhaps you do too, my grandparents, of course, went through the very difficult times of the 30s and all of that. And so down in their basement, they had a full basement. Their basement was supplied, and they canned vegetables and all those kinds of things because they remembered what it was like when there wasn't anything to have. And so they planned ahead, and that's a good encouragement to us as well. The coney, or what we would know as a hyrax, when you go to Israel, or if you've seen pictures of Israel in the rocks, they're all over, but they hide in the rocks, and they find their safety there. And as we look at that, we realize that is such a wonderful picture for us, as we realize that we can find our safety as we find refuge in the rock, in Jesus. And he goes on there in verse 27, the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. So the locusts have this unseen leader that keeps them moving as one, And that's exactly what we've been given. We have this one who binds us together. We call him the Holy Spirit that keeps us moving in the same direction. We don't see him, but we know he's real. He indwells us. He speaks to our hearts. The spider, we're told, takes hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. We go on in verse 29. There be there three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turns not away from any. The lion has great boldness. As we look at that, we should realize that we have been called to boldness as well, and particularly in these days. We are those who can stand strong. You remember Jeremiah was called, and the Lord would tell Jeremiah, Jeremiah, don't fear the faces of men. I want you to be bold. I want you to speak the truth. And he did for decades, even though no one was responding to the message. No one responded to Jeremiah's message. I'm imagining Jeremiah must have gotten discouraged from time to time. I don't know if you do, but it's easy for it to happen in our lives when we think, is anyone listening to what we're saying? And the answer is yes, because God's word never returns void. We may not see the fruit of what we're sowing, but God will use it for his glory. We need to be those who stay on track regardless of what we see. Verse 31, a greyhound and he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. And so we're challenged. We need to be ready to swim the ocean, to run the race, to climb the hills, because we are, the scripture says, more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. We are those conquerors. We are kings and priests in the heavenly kingdom. So he's called us to faithfulness. And that's why the scripture exhorts us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When I find myself running out of strength, I can simply turn to the one who never does. He is our strength. He is our shield, and he will take care of us. He will help us to fight our battles, and he's given us the ability to be clothed with his armor so that we're protected and ready. In verse 32, if you have done foolishly in lifting up yourself, or if you have thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk brings forth butter, and the wringing of the nose brings forth blood, so the forcing of wrath brings forth strife. I suppose you could say that's an exhortation to us to examine ourselves, to make sure that we're walking rather in humility rather than pride. Pride is a very hurtful thing. And many times we wouldn't call it pride, but so often we won't admit that we have needs. It's very hard for us to tell others that we have a need, that we need help, that we need those to come alongside of us. As we walk in humility, as we avoid stirring up anger in others, we can find the Lord's provision. And for me, I simply realize I need to zip my lip so many times. I need to keep my mouth closed. And Paul would exhort the Ephesians in that matter. He would say to them, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So we examine ourselves. Lord, am I doing that? Am I speaking good to edification, to my children, to my husband, to my wife, to those around me? And he says there that we're not to be stirring up or forcing wrath. And I suppose that's an exhortation to us as it relates to our children, that we're not to provoke our children to wrath. We simply need consistent discipline. In verse 1 of chapter 31, we read the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroys kings. Lemuel, that name means devoted to God. which has caused some to attribute this chapter to Solomon. But not everybody's agreed about that. But regardless of that, the truth remains. If it is Solomon, then Bathsheba, his mother, is giving him a message, a valuable message. She says to him, "Solomon, I want you to be wise in your relationships." And as she speaks into his life, we know that that counsel was born from experience and pain in her life. And so often when we speak into our kids' lives, it's born from experience, some painful, some blessing, but we can still speak the truth to them because the Lord has given us those experiences, those events in our lives for a purpose, because it says that we can use those to comfort others with the comfort that we received. And that's a blessing. None of us would choose to go through the hard times of life, but the Lord lets us do that, not only to purify us and to perfect us, but also to provide for us wisdom that we might give counsel to those around us. She goes on in verse 4. In a familiar theme in Proverbs, for sure, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. So she would tell her son, don't get caught up in drinking. Beware, Solomon, of a second master. Paul would say essentially the same thing in Ephesians chapter 5. He would tell them, be not drunk with wine where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We see example after example after example through Scripture of the dangers of alcohol. She would remind her son that leadership requires a clear head. In 1 Timothy, as you look at the qualifications for an elder, it says that they should not be given to wine. The Lord's judgment on the people of Israel in Isaiah 28, we read, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. The word, guys, is filled with warnings about alcohol. And so, as many people would say, you're being legalistic. Well, I'm not being legalistic in sounding the warning. The Lord's left a choice to each of us. As long as we're not kings, prophets, priests, or elders. In other words, those who want to serve and make a difference in our world. Now, one of the things that I was thinking about, and I'll just lay this out here, you can consider it. Peter tells us that what? We are kings and priests. We're a holy nation, a royal priesthood. That we need to think about that as it relates to the prohibition that God gives in his word. It's an important point, and it's becoming ever more challenging for us as believers in Jesus Christ to remain strong in that area, because there's a lot of people who have embraced drinking and call themselves believers. So we have to decide for ourselves what we're going to do in that. He goes on, and she goes on in verse 8, open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause and for of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. In other words, Solomon, I want you to stand in the gap. We would call it intercession. I want you to stand in the gap. I want you to be honorable and just in dealing with the people around you. And help those who are helpless. The Lord gives us opportunities to do that. And we need to pray for discernment, and we need to pray for a soft heart, because we can find ourselves becoming hardened to those things. as we see people taking advantage, and there are many who do. So, Lord, give us discernment. Help us to know how to respond to the need, and, Lord, to make sure that it is a valid need, if you will, that they're not just trying to get money from the system. It's a challenge to be sure. Verse 10, she begins to talk about the virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So this woman is a woman of virtue. The idea is she's a woman of character and faithfulness. And we see the importance and the value of discretion. Moms need to pass that on to their children, discretion and restraint. We need to be wise in our conduct. We need to let our children know that it makes a difference. Their appearance and how they talk and those things. The mother has much impact in that, because they spend a lot more time with their kids than dads do so often. Although we as dads have a challenge to raise our families in the ways of the Lord. Deuteronomy makes that clear. It's not a job that's passed off to mom. We need to be doing that together. And she here we see is a faithful helpmate, and her conduct engenders trust. It says that he knows he can trust in her actions. Verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She ariseth also while it is yet night, and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. This woman is motivated. I like it. She's motivated to provide for her family, and her day starts early. I love the fact that her family is a priority in her life. And some of you ladies will appreciate the fact that she's a bargain hunter. I don't know if you're a bargain hunter. My wife's a bargain hunter. She's always looking for the better price. And then she gets really depressed when she buys something, thinks she's getting a great bargain, then she goes a little bit farther and finds a bargain better. That's a bad day. But, you know, this woman is a bargain hunter. And I love the fact that she has a willing heart. A willing heart. Verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. So we see this woman who is diligent. Not only is she motivated, but she's diligent in life. Verse 17, it tells us that she has ability and she uses it well. We need to, as husbands, not to be threatened by our wives if they have ability. I appreciate my wife's ability. She's strong in some areas that I'm not so strong in. And I appreciate that so much. I know that's a gift from the Lord. In verse 19, it tells us that she's generous with others. In the midst of getting these things that she knows her family needs, she's also a giver. So there's this balance that she doesn't become so self-absorbed that she doesn't look for opportunities for ministry outside of her home. And she provides the needs of her family ahead of time. So when the snow does fly, they're well-dressed. They're well-dressed. Verse 23, Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land, so that place of authority. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So she is a blessing to her husband. She has a good testimony. And that's something that is cultivated over time, right? None of us are perfect. We all know that. But we can cultivate a good testimony. And even if we fall down and make mistakes, do the wrong things, that ground can be recovered. We don't give up and say, well, what's the use? Either wives or husbands. And it tells us here that she speaks both wisely and kindly. Ladies, spend time in the Word. Spend time meditating upon those promises that the Lord has given you specifically. To pray for your husband, to pray for your family, to ask the Lord for wisdom. And James is clear, if we lack wisdom and we ask, he'll give it to us liberally. And work to be kind to those around you. Verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. We see there she is watchful. She keeps an eye on her family. She's aware of their needs. That earlier in Proverbs, there's a verse that says that you need to be diligent to know the estate of your flocks and herds. This woman is there. She is blessed by her husband. She's blessed by her children because she is serving them well. And her own works will praise her. As we close tonight, as we finish up the book of Proverbs, we read, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The final analysis, this woman is excellent. And you see the beautiful fruit from the godly woman. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the testimony of this godly woman, Father. And I pray that the ladies of our fellowship, Father, would receive that which you have for each one of them, Lord, that they would be encouraged, that they would be built up in the faith, that they would be strengthened, Lord, and that they would spend time with you, Lord, to hear from you, that they might be what you've designed them to be, Lord, in the body of Christ and in their families. Father, for us as men, as husbands and fathers, Lord, I pray that you would help us to stand strong, Lord, in the power of your might, Lord, to come alongside of our wives, Lord, to love them and serve them and honor them, Lord, to be an instrument in your hand to help them become what you want them to be. And in that process, Father, might we be molded and shaped into the instrument that you would have us to be, that we would be a blessing to our wife and to our children as well. And that together, as we serve our families, as we serve the body, as we serve our community, Lord, that we would see you do great and mighty things, Lord. There is nothing that you cannot do, Lord, and you are looking for those who will stand in the gap, Lord, who will run the race well, who will swim the ocean and climb the mountain and do the things that you set before each one, Lord. And I pray that our hearts would be set upon you wholly, that we would reject the ways of the world, Lord, that we would guard our minds, that we would guard our hearts, that we would protect our eyes and our ears, Lord. Help us to feed the Spirit and not the flesh. And might we, Father, be a blessing to our children, to our grandchildren, Lord. Help us, Father, to leave a godly heritage And we know, Father, that will only happen as we give you absolute freedom to work in our lives and through our lives. Thank you, Father, for the book of Proverbs, Lord, for the wisdom and knowledge, understanding and discernment, Father, that are available through those chapters, Lord, 31 chapters of truth. Let your Holy Spirit be active, Father, in our hearts and minds as we consider the things which we have studied, Lord, in this book. And might we be indeed men and women of wisdom and understanding. Help us to be conduits of your wisdom, of your understanding, of your knowledge, of your truth, Lord, in the lives of those around us. Give to us that we might give to others, Lord. I pray the Lord would bless you as you press in, as you consider, as you read the word, that the Lord would impart his truth to you, that you might grow in the knowledge and grace of Jesus and be a powerful force in the world about us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.